Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah. Last night we completed the 28th juz, and inshallah I'm going to be just talking about one of those surahs, Surah At-Taghabun, and I'm going to focus in on the last verses of that surah. The word Taghabun, it means mutual loss. And I've mentioned earlier in the month the issue of what the definition of Ghabn. Ghabn means when a person, as a businessman, he buys at a price and he sells at a lower price. Basically, he doesn't have a markup, and in fact he's losing his business, he's losing the money that he's supposed to be making. This in Arabic is known as ghabn. So the biggest ghabn and the biggest loss will be obviously on the Day of Judgment, when a person will realize that the belief that he should have had and the amal that he should have done were supposed to have been done and completed in the worldly life, and now in the hereafter it's too late to make amends, and now he's going to face the ultimate loss, which is obviously the permanent loss of the hereafter, in which he will be failing and doomed for the punishment forever and ever. So that is the biggest loss, and that's why that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this day, ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ التَّغَابُنِ, in this surah. And this is what this surah is named after. So this surah, the scholars have a difference of opinion about whether it's a Makki surah or Madani surah. Some scholars say that half of the ayat were revealed in Mecca and half were revealed in Medina. Others say that it was revealed at the very beginning time after Hijrah, and therefore the verses seem like Makki and Madani both at the same time. So in any case, it was either at the very beginning stages of the Medina life, Madani life, or it was a half-half. This is the opinion of the scholars. So how is it that we can save ourselves from making sure that we are not losing out on the day of Taghabun, on this day of the Day of Judgment? What are the things that we're supposed to, what are we supposed to be doing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَأَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولَ. In this surah, he tells us, obey Allah and obey the Prophet. This is the first step towards getting success in the hereafter. And then after that, فَإِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَىٰ رَسُولِنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. If you turn away, if you run away, if you turn your backs, then the responsibility of the Prophet has been completed. He's done his job. Al-Balaghul Mubin, he has given the message, he's propagated the message, and he's given you the message that he's supposed to. If you don't listen, then that's your loss, but he's fulfilled his responsibility, so he's not to be held accountable. After that, Allahu la ilaha illahu, there is Allah, there is no one worthy of worship except for him. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do the believers have tawakkul and trust. This is the next thing, tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That on many occasions what we tend to do is that we say we believe in Allah, we believe in His Prophet, but then when it comes to do things which are difficult and seemingly they give us a worldly loss, you know, it's a very difficult step to take. An example of that is, you know, very common in this part of the world, is a person is offered a job in a company that may not be very ethical from a Shari'i standpoint. And now a person is, you know, wondering and thinking that what should I do? Should I take this job or not? Then obviously he will take religious advice, he will take a fatwa, he will ask the scholars, and he will try to find out whether it's permissible for him to work there or not. So on the one hand, the dollar signs are flashing before his eyes and he has a huge financial gain to get in this world. And on the other hand, the money that he may be earning is at the very least questionable. So what is the thing that will make him decide what step to take? It is this concept of tawakkul. If he has the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will forego this job and he will take the thing that is clean, and he will wait for something to come along that is more cleaner from a perspective of earning. So, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do the believers have tawakkul and trust in every step of their lives. We should do that. The next thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then talks about our families and how sometimes the family can become a hindrance to a person's own faith and his belief. And this is really, if a person has a family that is supportive in religion and both are seeing eye to eye in this issue of making sure that the family is practicing properly and the kids are practicing properly, this is a real blessing. And both husband and wife should appreciate this thing first and foremost, irrespective of other differences that they may have, and there will always be differences within the household. But if the husband and wife and the kids are seeing eye to eye in respect of practicing the religion, being good Muslims, and keeping the hereafter in front of them, then this is the most important thing from anything. So, but unfortunately, the problem is that in many occasions that doesn't happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting this issue in the next ayah. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. O people of Iman, indeed from your spouses, that can be husband and wife, the word zawj, it can be applied to both husband and wife. Sometimes the husband is maybe pious and Islamic and practicing, and the wife is not. And sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes the wife is pious, she wants to practice, and the husband tells her not to practice. The husband tells her not to put the hijab on. The husband tells her not to dress in an Islamic way outside. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that sometimes your husbands or your spouses, and sometimes it's your children that are enemies to you. There's a very strong word. The word adu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used it for the most part for the shaitan. Inna shaitana lakum adu mubin. Indeed, the shaitan is an open enemy to you. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using it for your families, for your husbands, your wives, your children. So what that means is that if a person is not careful and he or she submits himself or herself to the whims of the husband or the wife or the child, then he is actually leading himself to destruction, leading herself to destruction and failure in the hereafter. Sometimes a line has to be drawn, and the line is basically the ta'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There's no obedience to the creation in the disobedience of the creator. So if, for example, the wife or the husband or the child is trying to lead us to a path which is not conducive or helpful in building our hereafter, then indeed they are our enemies. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. Beware of this. Beware of this, which means that make sure that you don't just fall into the trap of listening and obeying to them and just following into the footsteps of the things that they may want you to do. There is a point where you have to say that no, enough is enough, and I have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to obey the Prophet, and I cannot listen to my family in these things that they're trying to guide me towards. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. This verse was actually revealed when some people tried to migrate from Mecca to Medina. They were ready and willing to sacrifice everything, but the spouses, they were preventing them and pulling them back, saying that we have our family here, we have our household here, we have everything here, how can we just drop everything and leave and go to a place and just start a new life? It's too difficult, so just stay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse that no, it is in your best interest to leave, go to Medina, for the sake of your deen, for the sake of your religion. So you should leave, irrespective of what your families are trying to tell you. But again, the wording is general. So this applies in all times, at all places, that any time that your family is trying to prevent you from becoming a better Muslim, then this is something that you need to be wary of and protect yourself from. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something and balances it out at the end of the ayah. وَإِن تَعَفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah uses three different words for being forgiving. تَعَفُوا, تَصْفَحُوا, تَغْفِرُوا. Basically, they mean the same thing. That it doesn't mean that you become a dictator at your house and you start beating your wife up, you start beating your kids up, and you start basically start doing zulm upon them because of the fact that they are becoming a hindrance to your becoming a better Muslim. There are ways that you can deal with this, but not in a way which is abusive, and not in a way which is harmful to your wife or husband and kids. There is a way that to do that, and the best way to do it is in a soft, gentle way, advising, encouraging, and talking to them in such a way that they don't start hating the religion. Okay, because if a person, for the sake of the religion, is becoming abusive, then the result of that will be that the wife or the husband or the child will start hating the religion. Okay? And you don't want that to happen. You want them to respect the religion and not be the means for them to start, the means for them to start hating the religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you are forgiving and you overlook and you are merciful, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself is Ghafoor Rahim. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then emphasizes again the same thing. Indeed, your wealth and your children are a trial for you. The same example that I gave. The wealth is a trial. That how do we earn the wealth? Where do we spend it? And you know, the sometimes the lack of it, sometimes having more of it, all of these situations are a trial for us. The same thing with the children. Sometimes the children are helpful, they are obedient, and sometimes they are disobedient and they are difficult for you. So this is also a trial that we are faced with. Okay, it's never going to be a walk in the park when it comes to raising the children, especially in an environment that we have in this country. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us already that this is a trial for you, but at the same time, وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. The person who remains steadfast and he tries to guide his children and he tries to make sure that his earnings are halal and he does his best to do what he's supposed to do as a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has with Him a huge reward. وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. So now, we've understood the difficulties and challenges. What are we supposed to do? Be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, as much as you can. This is what we are supposed to do. We have an istita'ah, we have a capability, we have to have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. Wasma'u, listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Wa ati'u, and obey the Prophet. Isma'u means listen to the Quran, listen to the words of Allah, and ati'u means obey the Prophet of Allah. Wa anfiqu khayran li anfusikum, and spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's the obligatory charity or the non-obligatory charity, it is better for you when you are spending it and you are reserving it for yourself in the hereafter. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whoever is saved from the shuh of his nafs. Shuh means a combination between bukhl and greed. A combination of stinginess and greediness. This is known in Arabic as shuh. So when a person combines both of these things and he saved himself from stinginess and greed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These are the people that are successful. Why? Because they are reserving for themselves an investment for the hereafter. They are spending in charity. Again, the next ayah says the same thing about spending. إِن تُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يُضَاعِفُ لَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. If you give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a good loan, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to it as a loan? When a person gives in charity, He is giving a loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you give a loan to somebody, you are giving it with the understanding that you will be paid back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need a loan from us. He doesn't need anything from us. But the wording is that when you give a loan to someone, when you give this loan to Allah, then for sure you're going to get it back. And not only are you going to get it back, Allah says, يُضَاعِفُ لَكُمْ. He is going to multiply for you. He's going to increase that investment for you. And He's going to pay you back manyfold. And on top of that, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. For the sake of you, because of the fact that you stood up and you spent in His path, He is also going to be forgiving to you. Wallahu shakurun halim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's shakur and He's halim. Shakur means he rewards a person for him doing what he's supposed to be doing. Shakur means grateful. This is the real meaning of shakur. So Allah is grateful, meaning He will recompense the person for doing the good that he did, because He's grateful to him for doing that. And halim, He is also forbearing, that when people are continuously disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't immediately send a punishment down to them, but He's halim, He has forbearance, and He doesn't immediately punish a person. He delays it, He delays it, He delays it, until when He decrees that punishment to come, either in this world or the hereafter, then He will give it, but not all the time. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He is the knower of the unseen, and He is the knower of what is seen, and He is Al-Aziz, He is the Almighty, and He is the All-Wise. The summary basically, that يَوْمُ التَّغَابُن is the day of loss, the day of judgment is the day of loss. How do we stay away from that loss? Obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obedience to the Prophet, making sure that our family is on the straight path, not to fall into the trap of following that family that is leading us to the disobedience, and to remain steadfast and to spend in charity as much as we can. This will result in us not being those people who get this huge loss on the Day of Judgment, and instead, inshallah, we'll be the ones that will get the success, the eternal success of the hereafter, and these are the means of doing that. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.
علينا بفني